God did that for us. One day we were my wife, and then she was pregnant, and our car spoiled in a place where was very dangerous in Lagos, Nigeria. And at that point, we didn't know what to do. And as we were just sitting down there, a guy like me, exactly my height, everything, my size, everything came and said, "Can we push the car?" I was like, "Who is this person?" And then he just was like, my wife wanted to join. He said, "My wife, madam, if you put on, I will not join." And this guy helped push this car to the point that was a busy road. Whenever he raises his hand, everyone stops. And we got this car across. I'm just summarizing it because I don't have the time. As we got this car across to a fuel station. So I went to my wife, I said, "I need to settle this guy, and how much am I going to give him and the rest of them?" And then, immediately, I just, 1 minute, 1 second or 2 seconds of just putting my head, to raise my head up, I never see any human being around me. I was like, "What's happening here? Where is this guy?" I was asking my wife, "Where is the guy?" My wife said, "Why are you asking me? You are the one that was talking with him and pushing the car with him." I said, "I can't even find him." I went around, moved around everywhere. I couldn't. It was at that moment in time, the word of God ministered to me that God sent his angel to assist us at that time of need. So I believe so much in that. And since then, God has given us every sign at every given point in time, especially when there is a very dangerous time that there was no other way out than God attending our needs by sending someone at that moment.
Amen.
Thank you. Sorry, it's just a summary.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. And I think that's just what the confirmation that, I wanted you to testify, to the story that I gave of, of an angel just, coming to intervene. And as I said before, angels, and as we learned about angels, is that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And we read that from Hebrews 1:14. So God makes his angels, his servants wind, his messengers and winds, and his servants flames of fire, So they are supposed to watch over us. And even the Bible tells us that he sends his angels charge over us, that we will not dash our foot against a stone. And you see, as we continue to study the life of Jacob, I want us to read Genesis 32. And this is where now Jacob prepares to meet his brother Esau, and I shared some notes in the group about breaking free from the spirit of poverty, the spirit of Cain, the spirit of the vagabond, the spirit of an orphan, and all this. Just in summary, when you look at the notes, all these are things that point us that we are slaves to Mammon, the spirit of Mammon, because Mammon is actually those that look after money, that are slaves to money. They find that they end up being slaves, carrying the spirit of poverty, carrying the spirit of striving, vagabond, Cain, orphan spirit, and the various things that they face. And as I was, because these are lessons from the life of Jacob, and we're trying to see what are some of the signs that, that show that people are, are under this difficulty or this spell or this spirit. And, one of the things is just selfishness. Anytime you find that you're only thinking about yourself, you're not caring about others, all you want to do is hurt others. And as long as you will get rich at the expense of someone else, you don't care. And you see, Jacob really suffered from this because he basically sold, he basically got the birthright from his brother without caring. He knew the guy was was hungry, famished from hunting. He had not caught anything. And he told him, send me your birthright and I will give you the bowl of soup. And you can see this is someone clearly who conned even stealing of the birthright, even stealing of the blessing of the father, you know, going to dress up like the brother with the clothes of the brother, even putting goat hairs on his hand. This was someone that could only think of getting rich at the expense of someone else, you know. And he still continues the same. I mean, he meets a bigger thief in his uncle Laban, and he keeps striving. And you see, so his main concerns were what he will have. So warring is also a big sign that you know that we are struggling with striving, competition. Every time you're just competitive, you just want to get ahead. You're just having a jealous spirit. And jealousy is not recognizing that others can be better than you or others are ahead of you. And if someone is ahead of you, you think that he must have corrupted his way. Or maybe it's because if it's a woman, she slept with the boss, you know. Or anytime you find that your heart tells you certain things, then you must ask yourself, what is the state of your heart? You know, when you buy things just so that people can recognize you, that, I mean, you have this type of phone, but it's not really about the function that you need, then it's possible that you're striving, you know. Gambling, people who are gambling, those who are stealing, anytime you have to forge documents, you know, anytime you have to sin so that you go ahead, corruption. Anytime that you have blessings or resources, or money that you know anytime you can be arrested for. You know, you can be arrested, you can find that you don't have the peace. Then that tells you also that you're under this bondage. You know, anytime you're putting your hope in man, you know, you put your hope in your uncle, in your boss, you know, you're scheming, thinking that you're only where you are by your own effort, not recognizing that it's the grace of God. Anytime that you find that your health is suffering because of your work, and you find that someone does not even go for leave a whole year until you break down, then that is when you feel that you need to take a break. And that is also a sign of striving, a spirit of striving, where you cannot just take a break. You know, also for those in ministry, you know, those who find that they are doing excessive things to get power, to get anointing, you find someone feels that, no, I must be anointed. So they... And even the main thing of the anointing is so that they can have a bigger ministry than someone else. You understand? So the focus is not really the anointing to serve God. The focus is the anointing to be more anointed than others. Eh? So you find someone is excessively torturing themselves, excessively lowering their own dignity, excessively, you know, doing things that they would not have done in a normal state. And you see, those are things that where you even quit your whole life, you go to the mountain and you're just praying and praying and praying, and yet you're not recognizing that God really expects you just to have a normal life, you know. So those are some of the things where you find that people, I mean, paying for prophecy, paying for anointing, paying for anointing oil, paying for all these things. Those are signs, you know, where someone says that I must make it or make it, or you have to fake it until you make it. All these are signs that someone is struggling, having a hustler spirit, where you say, no, me, I'm a hustler. Hustler means someone who can do anything to get ahead. This was the life of Jacob. And for sure, he acquired some things, to be honest. He acquired some things. And he had cattle, you know, he had the flocks, which he hustled from his uncle. Yeah? That is the reality. He hustled all these things from his uncle. But in one night, the guy was going to lose everything. And let us see what happened, huh? You can see he says in Genesis 32, says that Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. So he named that place Mahanaim. He named that place Mahanaim, which means two camps. I think maybe he meant one camp is of God and one camp is of the angels. And then I think this is where he got the confidence, because verse 3 it says, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them and said, this is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says. Now, see how things have changed. Eh? Jacob, remember, he had stolen the birthright, and we said three things are concerned with the birthright. That is kingship, priesthood and lordship, kingship, priesthood, and anyway, it's fine. So he was supposed to be lord over this and over his brother, but then he humbles himself and says, "Your servant," and dominion. Sorry, the third thing is dominion. He says, "Your servant, Jacob." So he's now humbling himself. He's returning the authority to his brother. He says, "Your servant has been staying with Laban, and I've remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys and sheep and goats, and men servants and maid servants. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes." So you can see everything he acquired. He had acquired so much. I mean, donkeys in their time were like the best means of transport. You can think of cars. He's telling now his brother, after 20 years, you know, I have all these cars. And just contextualizing it. And then immediately, the Bible says that verse 7, 32, Genesis 32, that verse 6, when the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." The guy is coming. And the Bible says, "In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who are with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape." See, he's always scheming, and you know that is the default nature. His default nature is scheming. He's a deceiver. And this is how many people who were under the bondage, or who God is helping us to come out of the spirit of poverty, this vagabond spirit, this restless spirit, this spirit of orphan, where you feel you're only alone. I mean, oh, I'm the weak in my family, I'm the last in my family, I cannot amount to anything, I'm just alone. Anytime you have that spirit, it's not from God, and it's the enemy that's trying to isolate you. And most of the time when that happens, you find that you become depressed and you get attacks from the enemy. And he said, Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Go back to your country, your relatives, and I will make you prosper.'" I am unworthy, you know. "And when I cross this Jordan, I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 female camels and their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants. Now ask yourself, how much wealth did this guy acquire after these 20 years? And this is just from a portion of what he had. If you can imagine the price of a goat now. Like in Juba, I think a goat must be maybe $100 to $200. No, yeah, $100, like donkeys, cows, you'll think of $500. 40 cows, that's already like 20,000 is already zendi. If you had to count with our time, the guy was ahead, but he realized he could lose it all in a day. Now that tells you that it was not acquired in the, he felt it was not acquired in the right way. And that is the effect of stealing. When you have stolen, any time, whether it's anti-corruption unit can appear, and you lose everything. And then he tells them, go, you know, give all this as a gift. Give this as a gift. Now, this is striving. This is striving. This is a real definition of a hustler. He hustled his way. He strived. I mean, he was restless. He's always trying to get the next thing. But then God meets him. After he has sent his camp ahead. And sadly, I'm not sure where I read it before. Or it was an assumption. Someone maybe preached that As he sent his wives ahead, he must have sent Leah the first one. And Rachel, the one he loves later. But anyway, after he has sent everyone away, remember where he was. The reason that gave him the courage is that he saw the angels in that place. So he knew that he was in an angelic place. Then he knew that he was in the two camps. He called the place my name, two camps, most likely meaning he's in the camp of the Lord and also his camp. So now he's alone. And then God meets him. And then the Bible says that after he had sent them across the stream, Jacob was left alone. And I've always said that it is only the day you are left alone, and the day you get tired, and the day you decide that you need to break free from this spirit of restlessness, this spirit of poverty, this spirit of vagabond, this spirit of an orphan, this spirit of being a slave to mammon, and the day you surrender yourself to God. And how do you surrender yourself? How do you get delivered? It is by simply accepting the love of God as a father. Many Christians, many believers have never known and experienced the love of God as a father. Someone could have been 30 years in salvation, but they deal with God from a distance. But anyone who comes to the truth and understanding that God actually can father them, when Jesus tells his disciples that, and the world, that, look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or sow, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Look, none of them dies without your Father knowing. How much more your Father is concerned for you. Do not worry what the running after the things the Gentiles do, striving what to eat, what to drink. Because your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Our greatest assurance as believers is to know that we are sons of God. We are actually children of God. And children are loved of God. And children are taken care by their fathers. A child is confident that the father will protect them. A child is confident that they will have supper. Why? Because the father is there. A child does not need to do things, to earn points, to be loved by their father. As long as you have become a child of God, you don't need, there are not things that you need to do for your father to say that you're my son. When we mess up with God, we are told to confess your sins and restore fellowship. That means that the son, you remember the prodigal son? Look at the story of the prodigal son. The guy asked for everything, but he never ceased to be a son in his father's eyes. As he wasted away everything, as he lost everything, in his heart he said, no, a servant in my father's house is treated better than me eating with pigs. And he said, I will arise and I will go back to my father. All we need to do at times is say, I will arise and I will go back to my father. I will go back to my father. And when you go back to your father, you tell him, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned and I have fallen short. I have made a mistake. I have messed up. And that's all he said. He said, I have messed up. And I am not worthy to be your son. Let me be one of your servants. And what did the father say? My son, get the fattened calf, slaughter it, give him a new garment, bathe him up, give him a ring, and create a feast for him. That is how fathers respond to us. No matter how your child did not pass in school, the moment they come, you will hug them. Or you might cane them, but you say, I'm still your father. You're still my son. Earthly fathers disown their children, but our heavenly father never disowns us. Jacob wrestled with God. and the man that he wrestled with was an angel. And the Bible says, verse 25, that so Jacob was left alone, and as the man wrestled with him till daybreak, the whole night, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, was dislocated as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." You can imagine the angel of the Lord, who I believe is Christ incarnate, wrestling with him until he realizes that he cannot overpower the guy. He realizes the only way he can defeat him is to break his hip, dislocate his hip. That tells us that some of us have very difficult spirits, very difficult situation. We are so hard until God touches an area that will break us. He cannot use us, because that's why he says, unless you are broken by God, he might not use you. That's why we are told many times to humble ourselves, to bring ourselves to the place of brokenness ourselves, so that God himself does not break us. Because when God breaks us, then we will be in trouble. But any time that God breaks you, he uses you mightily. There is no man that God has used mightily that has not been broken. For you to transition from a Jacob to an Israel, first, brokenness is the way. For you to move from deliverance of the spirit of bondage, slavery and all that, you need to come to the brokenness of your father, to know that on your own you will never amount to anything. On your own you will never be righteous. Righteousness is imputed on us by faith. On your own you can never achieve anything. We are given the power to make wealth. It is only God who gives us the real blessing that adds no sorrow. The blessing, Proverbs 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and he adds no sorrow to it. That means there is a blessing that God can give that is bigger than what men can give. And that blessing does not run out. It is not situational. That means that you can move away from where you are. You can move from the organization you are. You can move to another town. But as long as you know you carry the blessing of the Lord, you can start from zero. And you can build even better, even shorter, in a shorter time than what you started. Why? Because you carry the spiritual substance, which is the blessing. And remember, the greatest blessing that we have is the blessing of Christ. That's why it says we are blessed in all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. As long as we are in Christ, we carry the blessing of Abraham by faith. We are sons of God by faith. And he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Your name will, because Israel means he struggled with God. And you see, and actually if you read King James, I love the way it says that as a prince, you have struggled with men and with God and have prevailed. That means that heaven recognized Jacob as a prince. And that tells you that as he struggled, as in the capacity, in the spirit, he was given the rank of an angel. That's why he was able to interact with angels and fight with angels. And he overcame. And he said, as a prince, you have wrestled with men and with angels and have prevailed. And you see, that is why Esau could not kill or fight Jacob. Because he was no longer Jacob, he was Israel. Esau had a grudge against Jacob, but he did not have a grudge against Israel. When you are covered in Christ, when the enemy comes, he cannot find you. He only finds Christ, and he realizes that when you're in Christ, there's nothing he can do about it. When he brings accusations, when he brings witchcraft, when he brings anything that wants to condemn you, just tell him there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. There is a greater law that we are under. And that is the law of the spirit of life. the law of the Spirit of life. And that is the beauty of knowing you have a Father. And let us stay on the mark. Let us stay on the mark. Let us stay confident that we have a Father. A Father that loves us and is concerned for us. And anytime we forget this, remind yourself, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. God will take care of me. He will. And anyone who encourages himself in this, as I said, the Bible says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. This is the grace of God, knowing that it is not your human effort. It is by grace. It is by grace you will get to heaven. It is by grace you are saved. It is by grace you will stay in salvation. It is by grace that he will teach you to say no to ungodliness and righteousness. It is only a grace-empowered effort. It does not mean you will not work for the Lord, you will not labor. No, there are things that are prepared in advance for you to do, but it will not be under striving, but it will be a grace-empowered effort. It is only when you transition in Christ, when you come into Christ, then you are set free, when you know that you have a Father, a true Father. That is the cure for the spirit of bondage. May the Lord bless his word. I will stop there for now.
Thank you, Dr. Mama. Thank you so much for the word. Indeed, all the wealth that we acquire in this world in ungodly manner is all vanity. It's all cannot come with any blessings and cannot come with any happiness or joy. You know, but only that which is amassed through the blessings of God is what we can join and it's what we can celebrate, because we know it is of God. Thank you for that. And it's good to always remember that God is always there. He's always ready to, you know, when you're sharing that story of the prodigal son, his father was remembering the story of the lost sheep, the one of the lost sheep, where, saying that if one of your sheep gets lost, who of you will not leave the 99 and go and look for the other, and when you find it, you celebrate. God is always ready to, you know, to forgive and to welcome us back, and it's joy and it's happiness for him when he sees that we've turned away from our sins and we've come back home. So thank you for that reminder, and thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Any additional? Okay then, let us give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your word. Thank you that, Lord, you remind us that you are a Father. And Father, we confess our sins for falling short, for falling and being in fear like Jacob was, forgetting that it is you that promised him. It is you that gave him the promises. It is you that loved us before we loved you. It is you that sent your son to die on the cross for us before, while we were still sinners yet. It is you that has promised to go after us. Unlike the lost sheep, you go after us like the lost son. Indeed, you receive us back. And just like the lost coin, who does not even know it is lost, you're the one that lights up a lamp and searches for us, O God. May we be found, O God. May we be found. Those that are lost in the house, those that are lost in the church, they are in the church and yet they are lost, O God. May you have mercy that they come to a truth of who you are. Those that are lost, that have left the house, like the sheep that have left, may you go and find them. And those that have decided to be wasteful and to walk away, O God, by choice, may you find them, O God, and bring them to truth, O God. May you bring restoration to the praise and honor of your holy name. I thank you that you love us, you're concerned for us, and your word is to encourage us and to build us, not to shame us, O God. May you build us and encourage us and walk with us. bless the work of our hands, bless our going in, our going out this day. And the Lord, everything that we do, may it bring you glory, honor, and adoration. Cover our families, watch over our children, watch over our wives, and our family members, our relatives, oh God, may your grace be with each and every one of them. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. Pray for our health, touch us, and renew our strength. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Be blessed, my brothers. Bye-bye. Bye.